What's good, everybody? Welcome to the Sports Business Podcast, a Spotify/Anchor original. I am your host, Eric Compton. This podcast is available on all platforms, wherever you get your podcast from. Make sure you hit the like and subscribe button. Make sure you leave me 5 stars, because anything less than 5 stars, I just think you are a bona fide, certified player hater. You can find me on Instagram at Money Compton. You can also find me on Twitter/X at Sports Business. You can also email the show, sportsbusiness@gmail.com. Coming up on today's show, we are going to talk about why I'm upset with the NBA. We're also going to get into a little bit of the NFL two-minute drill, and before we get up out of here, we'll definitely do the dummy of the day. But first things first, it is Wednesday, February 21st. Usually, we do our shows on Mondays. I was in Colorado last week. I was traveling this past Monday and came back, had to get into the dad mode, and I mean, what was I going to talk about? The NBA All-Star Game? I mean, they didn't seem to care, so why should I? I've spoken to the partners that I do my podcast with, so, you know, Anchor, Spotify, Apple, Google, Stitcher, Amazon, all of those people, iHeart, really, really appreciate the partnership, but there is a part of me where I'm kind of at the point where I may only do football and maybe all the way up until about this time of the year. I'm debating. I know that the partners are kind of telling me otherwise, that they want me to kind of continue this year around. But I think the days of me covering the NBA are coming to a close. So what does that mean? How we're going to pivot this show once the football season's closing? We're trying to figure that out right now. I was completely transparent with them that this year, for some reason, the NBA for me has not done me any favors when I feel like I'm watching any games. I think I've only been to, I can honestly tell you, I've only been to about, or actually watched maybe 10 games, and 3 or 4 of those games I actually attended in person. And here we are coming up on the backside of the season where I think there's less than 30 games left in the season. I don't see myself maybe going to maybe only 1 or 2 basketball games for the rest of this year. We'll see how that changes. But needless, what I'm trying to get to the point is, and I'm going to talk about this on the show today, is that I don't know which way we're going to go with this show for the rest of this year until football season comes rolling around. Does that mean I'm going to talk more baseball? It's possible. Am I even going to get jiggy with it and talk more hockey? It's possible. We'll see. I'm just really, really, I'm almost at the verge of saying I'm done with the NBA. And this past weekend, the NBA All-Star Game, and I'm going to paint you all a quick story. I was in Colorado with my wife, and we were at dinner. What was that? Sunday night. Sunday night, we're at dinner, and we go to this place, and this seafood spot. And I tell the lady, I was like, hey, can you change the channel to the All-Star Game? Instant regret, because I think the latter of was watch the All-Star Game or watch some trash-ass college basketball game, which it wasn't even like a entertaining game. It was like 2 NIAA schools playing against each other. So it was either you were damned if you do, you were damned if you don't. And I was like, I don't know. Let's just see what the NBA All-Star Game has to offer. After all, Adam Silver this year has quote-unquote claimed to say that it's time to get back to basketball, and all this other nonsense needs to stop. Well, the lie detector determined that was a lie, because here we are with the same old stuff. Now, there's one side of the house that says that the All-Star Game is the All-Star Game for what it was. There's the other all side of the house where I'm leaning towards, is that, yeah, the All-Star Game is an exhibition. The All-Star Game is supposed to be a chill weekend where it's not high stress, yada, yada, yada. But the NBA players that we are dealing with in today's day and age is where they feel like they're just wage earners. They don't necessarily love the game for what it is. You know, they're more worried about their brand. They're more worried about how many Instagram followers they got. They're more worried about posing for Skims or whatever the next male lingerie model they can find, or Express, or, you know, the next Modelo commercial and all that. They're more worried about their marketing. Then and then they, you know, basketball comes as their secondary daytime job. So we came into this weekend where, quite honestly, I can honestly think this might have been the worst NBA All-Star weekend ever. And it doesn't have nothing to do with it being in Indiana, whatever. You know, I think it was a culmination of, you know, let's just start with the skills challenge. I mean, Anthony Edwards flat out said he wasn't even out there trying. I mean, I've never seen a referee interject and be like, hey, bro, you're not following the rules. I've never seen that in my life. So you have players that just didn't take it serious, whatever. You had Anthony Edwards literally out here shooting with his left hand. And if I'm a paying customer and I'm paying for my kids to go to this, mind you, it was at Lucas Oil Field, so that's probably anywhere north of 40 to 50,000 people at a minimum that paid to go there. And I know they didn't pay no, you know, $20 to get into the entire All-Star Saturday night. I'd be pissed. I would call my credit card issuing company and say that was an unauthorized charge because that's how bad the product was. The only good thing that came out of it was the Steph Curry and the Sabrina Ionescu three-point challenge, which I'm going to get into that a little bit later as well. And then, what is it, Friday night they had the rookie challenge? Like, I don't remember. I can't tell you anything about the rookie challenge. You got it to the point where now the NBA Celebrity All-Star Game is more competitive than the regular All-Star Game on Sunday nights, which is mind-blowing. But you got Adam Silver, wherever he is, if he can actually reach down and find out if he still has his testicles, this will be a good time right now to see if he still has them. Because at this point, they're all the way over there. He doesn't have them. This might be the worst commissioner ever in any sport that I can think of. He's worse than Bud Selig. He's probably worse than Rob Manfred. And to be quite frankly honest, Roger Goodell used to have that championship for a while, but he seems like he's gotten his act together within the last 10 years or so, where he's not doing a bad job with the NFL. The thing about David Stern was everyone was like, oh, David Stern was a hard ass. David Stern was not for player empowerment, which is fine. You know, and there's a part of me that agrees to that to a certain extent. David Stern came up on inherited a league where there was a whole bunch of drug problems. There wasn't any stars. You know, you kind of came up on the heels where you had Mike, Larry, and Magic that was able to lift the game up to where it is today. Adam Silver comes in through the back door, and his first ever major decision was the Donald Sterling thing. And I don't even think that he handled that correctly, where he made him, I think, was it a fine of $2 million, and he ended up selling the team for however many billions of dollars. You know, I think at the end of the day, Donald Sterling won that deal. You come all the way up to now, you know, you have the load management stuff. Now you have players that are demanding trades. You have players, you've never seen this many things that are more about off the court than it is about on the court under Adam Silver's watch. And that's why I say this dude is the worst commissioner known to mankind. This dude, he acts like he cares. You know, he tries to put on this whole, oh yeah, you know, congratulations, you guys broke the all-time score, I hope you're happy. Nah, that's the point. If you're the commissioner and the owners are paying your salary and the owners aren't really necessarily happy with what's going on, you guys are coming up on a TV or new TV deals where TNT executives, which is their backbone of the NBA outside of ESPN, has already flat out said they're cool with not re-upping their deal with the NBA, which is alarming. The TNT executive back in 2022 said, and I quote, Warner Brothers Discovery CEO Zalavi said he doesn't need the NBA to have its success now that they have deals with MLB and the National Hockey League. NHL, National Hockey League. Which means to tell me that the TNT ain't really stunting off the NBA's money in 2024, in this day and age of players just wanting to just do whatever the hell they want to do. They don't want to come to work. They don't want to play in the regular season games. They don't want to play in the All-Star game. They just want all the notoriety, all the accolades, and all the, hey, this guy is considered one of the top 24 players. He's considered the All-NBA guys, but then they don't want to put in the work for it. You know, I know for a fact, I've lived here in Las Vegas for going on 6, 7, or 8 years now. I used to work at UNLV, where they would have open runs during the summertime. I've seen players play a lot harder on those pickup scrimmage games than they did this past weekend. I've seen that with my own two eyes. I am the source. I'm telling you on that. Take it for what it's worth. Klay Thompson, God forbid, blew his Achilles out in a pickup game in LA after his torn ACL. Boogie Cousins got hurt in a pickup game. So you're telling me that you guys are cool, you as quote-unquote NBA players, you guys are cool with injuries that happened during the summer, but then you come up with this BS lie about, oh, I don't want to get hurt during an All-Star game. I had this heated debate. I'll never forget this. I was on a road trip. I had this heated debate about why I thought the NBA tournament, in-season tournament, was stupid, because these players are talking about how they don't want to get hurt or whatever the case may be. And I said, well, what's going to happen? Or I asked the question. I said, what's going to be happening when you have the first player in the in-season tournament in game 83, the in-season tournament championship, where a player gets hurt when they blow out the Achilles in a meaningless game for $500,000? And he really didn't have an answer, saying that, well, it's never happened yet. And I had said the same thing about the All-Star game, because that was his counter, was, well, what about the All-Star game? What if somebody gets hurt in the All-Star game? I said, well, no one's ever gotten hurt in the NBA All-Star game. The 73 years that it's played, you're telling me that the worst ever injury was Dwayne Wade smacking Kobe Bryant across the face and he broke his nose is the worst All-Star game injury known to mankind? What are we talking about? It's the same thing. That was what I was trying to explain, is that it's the same thing. If you probably have more of a chance of getting hurt lollygagging and hot dogging than you do actually going hard in the paint. If you think about more and more games in today's day and age, yes, injuries are a lot more higher, but you're susceptible to getting injured pretty much at any given time. So if you're more worried about getting hurt, you're probably going to get hurt, as opposed to if you're just going out there doing your thug thizzle, doing what you're supposed to be doing, you're probably going to be all right. But this whole notion that players are worried about their image, worried about getting crossed on, worried about getting dunked on, it's hard. Now, how do we fix this? I'm going to be honest with you. Let them boys go play tug of war. Let them go play dodgeball. Because I think we're at the point of no return where you can't fix this. You know, players are making too much money. The thing about the NBA in today's day and age where, you know, it's all about player empowerment. You know, y'all weirdos that be talking about this player empowerment, about it should be a player-ran league, that's cool and all, but somebody got to answer to somebody, and right now ain't nobody answering to nobody. Everybody's just doing what they want to do. The thing about the NBA, maybe even 10 years ago, like, I don't want to be the guy that sounds like 15, 20 years ago, but let's just say 10 to 15 years ago, the thing about making the All-Star team was, if you made the All-Star team, you were considered one of the best. And if you were considered one of the best, you got the best money, all right? You got players like Alex Caruso making anywhere, and this is no knock on Alex Caruso, but you got players like Alex Caruso, RJ Barrett, that's another player, Jordan Poole. You got a lot of these players right now that ain't even remotely in all-star conversations. Michael Porter Jr., guys that are not even remotely in the conversations of being all-star worthy, that are making $15, $20, $25 million a year. So for the players that are being named to the all-star team, it's like, whatever, like, that's cool and all, but ain't nobody trying to play the game, because there's really no incentive. You know, there's always that rookie deal on the rookie deal from year, you know, within your first 3 to 4 years, you know, there's that kicker where if you make the all-star team, if you win a championship, if you make All-NBA, one of the top 15 players or one of the top 10 players on all defensive side, then that's when you get that $40 million kicker. You know, so usually year three is when you see players like a Jordan Poole. You'll see players like a Jalen Brunson, who flourish and they have great, great years. Now, Jalen Brunson is an outlier. He got, you know, the New York Knicks got him on a very, very cheap deal. But I say all that to say is that there's really nothing that makes you being named one of the top 24 players during the All-Star break, you know, it doesn't matter, because everyone's being paid like an All-Star, you know, and that's the problem right now in the league, is that everyone's making All-Star money when it ain't everybody that should be making All-Star money. Now, you're being unrealistic, like, you know, the All-Star game ain't going to go nowhere, yada, yada, yada. Okay, cool. How else can we fix it? I have this theory. Since you weirdos love the in-season tournament so much, you know, y'all weirdos love the in-season tournament. Oh, yeah, you know, the courts were looking fire, you know, the uniforms and this and that. Whatever. Here's what you can do with that stupid-ass in-season tournament. You could actually put it during All-Star Week, you know, everybody, you know, like everybody just comes to the wherever the city is. I guess that'd be Indiana or something like that, and play the in-season tournament for a week. You know, everyone has a round robin, and they get to the Thug Dizzle, and then the All-Star game would be the two final teams that play during there. That's what I would do. And then the winning team gets their $500,000, and then the losing team, whatever their share is. And you can possibly say that, hey, at a minimum, the winning team will make at least the play-in tournament for the postseason. That's one way of fixing it. Another way is possibly doing kind of like what hockey does, where it's not necessarily a traditional, I believe it's 6-on-6 in hockey. You break it down to a 3-on-3, including the goalie. You can do a 3-on-3 tournament. You get your two team captains, one from the East, one from the West. You name your all-stars. You name the team captains. They break their teams up into, four different teams of three, because you're naming 12 players. Each player gets four teams of three, and you're good to go, and you can play a 3-on-3 tournament and go from there. But as far as realistically speaking, how do you fix this? You really can't. Adam Silver has literally lost control of the NBA. There's nothing really he can do at this point. He can pout. He can go get Joe Dumars. He can go get Andre Iguodala all he want. But at the end of the day, this is something that predicates to a lot of decisions that he's made back in the day, where he's been too ha-ha, too smiling in people's faces, too much trying to rub elbows with the players when, hey, you need to be siding with the owners. You know what I'm saying? The owners pay your checks, not the players. You got to keep that in mind. The owners are paying your paychecks, not the players. Yes, the players are the ones that are making the league for the overall a better place. But right now we have a whole bunch of players that feel entitled. They're not paying into the equity that's going to be built forward for the next generation, because now you have TV channels that are like, I don't know how I feel about the NBA. Now, granted, someone's going to pick the NBA up, like Apple TV. NBC might want to get back into it with their own streaming device with Peacock. Fox might want to get jiggy with it since they're losing WWE SmackDown. So you do have partners that will throw the bag at them. But if you're telling me one of your backbones that have been partners with you for as long as I've been alive, which is over 30 plus some years, you got a problem. And for Adam Silver to try to, I'm not going to say be light with it or be cool with it or not take this serious, because I don't know if he's, I would like to say he's taking it serious, but he's not showing it. He's not showing it right now. So he's going to have to look himself in the mirror and be like, what can I do to change this? Cool. You put a 65 game minimum to apply, for you to be qualified for, the in-season award. So your MVP and all that good jazz. Yeah, that's cool. But you're going to have cats like Jordan Poole that's up for MVP, because you're going to have your boys like Joel Embiid, Tyrese Halliburton. I think Kawhi Leonard's played a boatload of games, so I can't even put him in there. But, Julius Randle, who was having a great, great season, he's out. Is the MVP of the league really the MVP? Or is it just winner by default? Like, you're going to have some of these awards where it's going to be like, he won, but it's because he played the maximum, the maximum games that he was supposed to play, which is 65, which is about 21%. So, the NBA, like I said, and this is why I'm just having a hard time this year with the NBA. The NBA used to have 5 key dates, opening night. That was Nuggets and Lakers, and the Nuggets had them have a must win for that to kind of solidify that they were the best team coming into the season. That you also had Christmas Day, where the NFL just came all up on your couch and just put their feet up on your couch and just was like, nope. With the Niners against the Ravens, which was supposed to be a potential Super Bowl preview, you had the Raiders and the Chiefs, which is a Super Bowl defending champion. And I think you had the Giants and the Eagles or something like that, an NFC East division rivalry game. So you was already losing that. You had MLK Day, which fell on a Monday night game, which the NFL had a playoff. You had two playoff games actually on a Monday day because the Bills game got snowed out. That got pushed to Monday. And then you had the whatever else Monday night game that was on ESPN. So when nobody even watching that, you had an in-season tournament, like LOL, the in-season tournament. Like, the thing about it is, I live here in Vegas. I can tell you right now, it was not as successful as they keep swearing up and down that they is. Just like they keep swearing up and down that All-Star Saturday Night was successful, because they said that, oh, over 10 million unique different people, unique different ways try to subscribe or watch the game. What the hell does that mean? What the hell does that mean? Does that mean that somebody just turned, logged onto their NBA app and watched Jalen Brunson, who has no left hand, try to make a dunk over somebody who's 2 feet tall? And first, and another thing, who the hell is this Kai Cent dude? This dude had more, he had just as much publicity than Taylor Swift did. And y'all swore up and down that y'all didn't feel Taylor Swift panning the camera all up on her. But then you got some dude named Kai Cent. I don't even know if I'm saying that dude's name. All I know is this dude is a glorified little person. And Jalen Brown, who doesn't have a left hand, put a Michael Jackson glove on his left hand. For the first time I've ever seen that man put a basketball on his left hand and dunk over somebody that was 2 feet tall. Good for you. But I say all to say is, now you had an NBA All-Star weekend, which used to be the other important day for the NBA, where you would have, right after the Super Bowl, the NBA All-Star game would come in and kind of be like, all right, now it's time for us to get our shine on. That didn't happen this year. It didn't happen at all this year. It was more of, I'm not watching this. I'm not watching it at all. So, the NBA, they have a lot of work to do. They need to do some soul searching. You know, there's been this huge topic this week, and it's kind of been something that I've been saying. It's like, all right, who's next? Once you get KD, LeBron, Steph, once when those dudes, Dame Lillard, once when those dudes get up and they put it into it and they want to go off and ride off to the sunset, who's next where the NBA can legitimately market? You can say it's supposed to be Zion Williamson. We know Zion Williamson is another anomaly. Well, we just don't know if this dude's ever going to show up and play on a regular basis. You got Ja Morant. Ja Morant liked to play with guns, and then next thing you know, he out for the rest of the season talking about his shoulder hurt because his team is trash. Now, I'm not questioning if his shoulder's really hurt or not. I mean, this dude's in a sling, but I mean, when you got a checkered pass like him, I'm questioning every move that he made. You got Paolo Banchero, LOL, he plays for the Orlando Magic. Like, when's the last time you seen Orlando Magic on national TV? It ain't never happened. You know, so Anthony Edwards, I was a huge Anthony Edwards fan, but until he told, flat out said this past weekend, he ain't trying to play hard in the NBA All-Star game. I don't know how I'm looking at my man. I'm looking at him a little different. So you got the Ant-Man, but he looked like he just want to be, he all about likes and not really liking basketball. So the NBA has a huge problem right now where they can't really depend on these young Thundercats to kind of carry the torch. I don't know who they're going to pass the torch to. Jokic, I mean, maybe, but he's, what, in his 10th, 11th year? He's been in the league for a minute. Luka, but, you know, Luka's finicky sometimes where, you know, he throws these different temper tantrums. So you got a lot of different, the NBA is running up on a interesting time where they don't know what's going to end up happening. And you had from Jordan to Kobe, Kobe to these guys to fill in the blank. Like, seriously, what are we doing? Fill in the blank for who? I don't see none of these guys really just being that marketable dude. I just don't see it. I hope I'm wrong. I hope 5 years from now, there's a guy like, I don't know, Zion Williamson that's going to be able to just be that dude, be that dog, and be the guy who carries the torch and holds it down for the next generation. But I just don't see it. And that's just where we are. Now, let's talk about the slam dunk competition. what are we doing? You mean to tell me, and I saw Stephen A. earlier this week try to blame that on LeBron, and I sat back and I looked at it. He's not wrong, but he's not right at the same time. Like, I get that, yeah, it used to be a tradition where usually your biggest superstars were completing the slam dunk competition. LeBron James kind of broke that up, where a lot of these players, quote unquote, they don't feel like they need to participate. Okay, that's cool and all. Like, I can see where that's coming from. But at the same time, Blake Griffin did it. You know, Blake Griffin was supposed to be the hottest thing after LeBron James came in the league. He did his thug dizzle. Dwight Howard got jiggy with it. So you've had stars still get jiggy with the dunk competition. It's just these new dudes, like I said, they more worried about losing, getting embarrassed, yada, yada, yada. And as much hell as I want to give Jaylen Brown, I will give him credit that he went out there and tried. But if you're telling me that two of your four competitors are in the G League, like, yeah, you could say, what's Obi Toppin's brother? Jacob Toppin? Bro, they showed his video package of him with the Syracuse Knicks or whatever the hell their G League affiliate is. They had more of his highlight tapes of him in a G League uniform than they did in a Knickerbocker uniform. Okay? So he don't even count. And then they got this dude, Mac McClung, where he's won, what, 2 NBA slam dunk competitions and has played in 4 legitimate NBA games over the last 2 years. Bro, get them jokers up out of here. I'm sorry. They not NBA players. If you're telling me that Mac McClung can't even get an NBA retirement check, he ain't in the NBA. All right? He ain't in the NBA. Jacob Toppin, I didn't even know Obi Toppin had a brother. I'll tell you that right now. They look like twins. That could have, you know, had Obi Toppin not showed up, standing them next side by side, I would have thought that was Obi Toppin out there. But again, Jacob Toppin, another G League player. I don't even know how many games he's played as a Knick, but hey, he ain't got enough time and service to be out here talking about he's a New York Knick. I can tell you that right now. And then you had Jaime Jaquez Jr., which I guess is putting in work for the Miami Heat this year. I didn't know that, but good for him. And then you had Mac McClung. So I'm saying not to say this. What's the solution? You mean to tell me that Anthony Edwards didn't want to do it? I guess not. He's too worried about shooting left-handed. You mean to tell me that you couldn't figure out a way to get Zion Williamson? This is a good time for him, who's having a quote-unquote pretty decent year this year, to be like, hey, Zion, you want to come out there and get jiggy with it? You mean to tell me that you couldn't at once upon a time get Ja Morant to get into this? RJ Barrett. Who else is out there? Paolo Banchero. Scotty Barnes. Jonathan Kuminga can jump out the gym. You mean to tell me that you went down every list and called these players up and everyone said no? Now, I know you can't make this mandatory, but if you're telling me that all these dudes said no, I got problems with that. I got problems with that. So at the end of the day, maybe it's time for us to go away with the dunk contest, go away with the All-Star game, and how about them dudes just play 2K or something like that? Put them up on a Jumbotron and they out there just playing 2K, because that's where we're at. That's where we're at. So the NBA All-Star Weekend by far was one of the worst sports spectacles I think I've ever seen. Easily. What does that lead to the second half of the season? I don't know, y'all. Like, I was talking to my cousin the other day, or Monday, I was driving to the airport, and he was just like, I don't believe in nobody in the West. And I was thinking in my head, yeah, you're right, because I don't see how the Minnesota Timberwolves can keep this going with Rudy Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns, who, quote-unquote, had, like, the quietest 50 points I've ever seen in a basketball game, like, at any level. But I don't see how those two big dudes are going to be able to stay on the court when the game is a lot slower. There's going to be a lot more switching and whatnot. So I'm not sold on them. Like I said, I have not been sold on the Thunder, like, all year long. I feel like they are last year's version of Sacramento Kings, where it's a team that kind of just came out of nowhere and here they are sitting at the number 2 seed. But I'm pretty sure a team like the Clippers, the Nuggets, hell, even the Lakers to a certain extent, maybe looking at them like, oh yeah, cool, watch us in the playoffs. Like, that's just how I feel about the Thunder. If you're telling me about the Clippers, who, that's who I'm kind of picking right now to come out of the West. And the reason why I'm saying that is because we ain't heard jack diddly squat about James Harden since he got over to LA. We ain't heard nothing. And usually that means no news is good news when it comes down to stuff like that. Kawhi Leonard has pretty much played the entire season. Paul George has pretty much played the entire season. The question about the Clippers is going to be, can they stay healthy? I didn't even mention the Phoenix Suns about them probably just laughing at the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Minnesota Timberwolves. And I get the Timberwolves. I think they're leading the league in defense. But I just didn't. First of all, they're going to have to take some lumps before we can just crown them champions. That's usually how it goes in NBA, is that a lot of these young teams, they got to go through the learning curve. And then when they go through the learning curve, they come back and they make things happen. Look at the Denver Nuggets last year. They got that ass tapped against the Golden State Warriors a year prior, and they figured it out, won the championship. If you look at the Golden State Warriors during their heyday, they sat there and ran up against the Clippers, and they ended up winning the championship. Even the Miami Heat lost in the finals against Dallas, came back and won two out of the next three. So teams will go through these lumps and then they figure it out. I ain't seen a team that just came off the top rope and was like, yo, we here. We just gonna come over here and put our feet up on your couch and we just gonna win the championship. It's usually just not how it works. So I'm not really sold on the Timberwolves and the Thunder. Maybe next year, maybe the year after. But if you're telling me right now this time, I'd be shocked if one of those two teams are in the NBA Finals. That's just me. If you're telling me about the Phoenix Suns, yeah, that's cool and all, but what's up with Bradley Beal? Like, is he going to play? The Golden State Warriors. I'd be shocked if they even make the play-in tournament this year. Like, the fact that they didn't make a trade deadline move, like, I get it. Jonathan Kuminga has been balling out of control. But you mean to tell me you couldn't flip Andrew Wiggins? You couldn't flip Moses Moody and throw a whole bunch of draft picks and brought something serviceable back? That's kind of mind-blowing. But then I also got to thinking, and I think I brought that up on one of my shows in the past few weeks, is that there wasn't nobody really out there on the trade market that was just going to move the needle either for the Lakers or the Warriors. Like, yeah, you can keep throwing up this crack dream about DeJounte Murray, which that sounds cool and all, but, you know, what have you done for me lately? So you telling me everybody in the way, and that's what I was telling my cousin, is that everybody, it's not even that everyone's just good. It's just that everyone has these weird question marks about, are people going to play? Like, that's what it comes down to with the Clippers. Is Kawhi going to come up with this freak injury? Is Paul George going to have another freak injury? Is James Harden just going to check out the Phoenix Suns? Is Bradley Beal, like, is his back okay? The Los Angeles Lakers. You know, AD, as much as he's a top five to top 10 player this year, he's about five, you know, a couple of steps or a fall away from just being out for the rest of the year. LeBron James, like, he's at year 21. Like, I get it. He's probably the most in-shape player in the league, but at the end of the day, he's still, what, 37, 38 or something like that? 37, 38? Been in the league for 21 years? That's cool. The Warriors, ain't no telling what's going to happen to them, Joker. So everybody, it's not even about, like, it's just all these, like, hey, it's not like they're missing a team. It's not like, or missing a team, missing a player. It's not them missing, fill in the blank. It's just a yeah, but. Now, if you go over to the East, I think the East is a little bit more competitive this year. Like I said, the Knicks are by far the deepest team in the league. Like, getting OG, getting Dante DiVincenzo, getting Josh Hart, Mitchell Robinson is supposed to be coming back. Julius Randle should be coming back within the next 2 to 3 weeks. Jalen Brunson's playing at a MVP level. I don't think he's going to win the MVP, but he should get some MVP votes this year. That's probably my dark horse team outside of the Cavaliers with Evan Mobley coming back. I mean, I see everyone talking about Spider Mitchell. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I don't see star written all over that dude. I just don't. I've never been sold on him. But if with the right pieces, I think with Darius Garland, Josh, Jared Allen, Evan Mobley, they got some things that they can work with over there. And then the thing about the Bucks is, it's Glenn Rivers is coaching. LOL. Like, I think their championship went to close the moment they sat there and Rick picked up the phone and called him. I don't believe in the Bucks at all. At all. As long as that dude is the coach, ain't no way in hell the boys is winning the championship. And the crazy thing about it is, they have to win. They have to go to the NBA Finals between this year and next year. Otherwise, this is going to blow up in their face extremely, 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 extremely bad for them. So that leads you to what? I got the Cavs. I got the Knicks. You can always bring up the Miami Heat being a dark horse, which is cool. But how many more years is that? How can you sustain coming up from the rear like that? You know, the Miami Heat were an 8 seed last year. I think they were down by 10 points in one of their playing games and came back and won. That is not sustainable for them as a veteran team to keep just doing that over and over and over again. So for me to take Miami serious, like, am I counting them out? No. But it's high stress for them to keep doing this year after year after year, going through the play-in tournament, you know, having to play a one-season game with your season on the line to be able to just make sure everything falls into play. That's hard to sustain. And for them to have to do that again this year, that's a huge ask. But you can't never count the boys out. Philadelphia, if I'm the Sixers, I'm going to be honest with you, I might just rest Joel Embiid, you done. You done and you finished this year. Let's just go ahead and try it again next year. I just don't see them rushing Joel Embiid back as their number one player this year. It just doesn't make sense. That's your guy. And quite frankly, it might be time to blow that team up next at the end of the season, depending on what ends up happening with Joel Embiid. I personally don't think he should come back this season, and I think it's time to really just reassess the situation on, is this a championship caliber team with Tyrese Maxey, with my guy that looks like J. Cole, Tobias Harris. I just don't know how much longer can they keep just running into the wall. So if you're telling me right now who I'm picking out of the East, it is the New York Knicks and the Cleveland Cavaliers. That's who I expect to see in the Eastern Conference Finals. I just don't, you know, Boston, they got coaching issues. Like, I see that Kristaps Porzingis has been a huge factor to them. I see that Jrue Holiday has been really, really good for them. But that Mazzulla dude, I don't know about that dude. I don't know. Like, it seems like he cracks under pressure. So I'm picking the Cavs and the Knicks over the Boston Celtics. Like, you know. And here's the thing about the Celtics. Do you know that the Celtics have probably won, I believe it's only been two championships in the last 40 years? Think about that. They won that little raggedy-ass championship in 2008. They didn't win one in the 90s. I don't even think they went to the finals in the 90s. They haven't been to the finals since 2022. But they didn't go to the... And then in the 80s, they won their three. And I think the last one was in 86 or 87. So for this franchise, we're doing a whole bunch of talking. They ain't won Jack Diddley Poo in a very, very long time. And it's just saying, oh, wait. We're talking about almost 15 years since the Celtics even won that last championship. So, Boston, pump your brakes. Take it easy, okay? Do something. Get to the finals. Win something before you do all this yapping, all right? Now, I think I've spoken enough about this tragic state that we are in with the NBA. So let's just go ahead and move into my NFL two-minute drill. I didn't talk about this last week, but are we surprised that Kyle Shanahan fired Clarence Williams IV, a.k.a. Steve Wilks? And if y'all don't know who Clarence Williams is, Clarence Williams III is, go look him up, RIP. And you'll see what I'm talking about when I say Steve Wilks. Are we surprised? I mean, it was either going to be John Lynch was going to have to say, hey, man, somebody got to go. And being the fact that him and Kyle Shanahan are really, really close. And Kyle Shanahan didn't seem like he was much of a fan of Clarence Williams IV. It wasn't really much of a surprise that he was let go. You know, Steve Wilks wanted to be more up in the booth, and they had to kind of summon him downstairs and be on the sidelines just because Kyle could be a little bit more of a micromanager during the season. Didn't seem like the players really responded well to Steve Wilks's philosophy, I guess, which is weird because it seems like he's gotten a bad raw deal everywhere he's been. But at the same time, I'm not shocked that this dude got let go. But my question is, what are the Niners going to do to dummy-proof this? Because you got to think about this. The Niners had, I believe, either 9 or 11 All-Pro players on their team. And if you look at their team, they look like the freaking, you know, dream team. They literally had an All-Pro almost at every single position that you could think of. At all three levels, even on the defense. I think you had either one of the Bosa boys, Fred Warner, and then I believe Ward was a All-Pro as well. So my question is, okay, you let go Steve Wilks, which, whatever. That's all I can say is whatever. But who are you bringing in there that the players are going to respond better? Who's going to help more out with the, I would say, more in the secondary? I mean, I get that the pass rush, you're pretty sure you're not going to be able to retain Chase Young. You're probably not going to be able to retain Randy Gregory. So you're already letting go of two of your three top defensive pass rushers. You're going to keep Bosa and I'm assuming Armstead. But then what are your other two? It looks like Tayshaun Gibson's going to get let go. So, you know, you're going to have to work on your, and probably Greenlaw. I don't know what's going to end up happening to Greenlaw as far as him with that torn Achilles, but you got to figure out what you're going to do with your front four and then your back four. So the D-line in the secondary next year is going to be very, very interesting. And I don't know who can come in and fix all of that really at this time. You know, this is, I don't know, you know, like I said, the Niners have a lot of financial issues that they're going to have to get with. And I don't even know if Steve Wilkes was able to keep his job, that this was going to make things right as well. So we'll see about that. My next thing is, where the hell are all these NFL, where are these free agent running backs going to? You know, you got Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, Saquon Barkley. Those are your top three off the top of my head, so we'll just stick with those three. What are those three running backs going to? Is the Raiders going to use their franchise tag and tag Josh Jacobs? Again, I don't know. Seems like Saquon wants to stay with the Giants, but I don't know if staying with the Giants really necessarily means winning for them. And then you got Derrick Henry, who I believe is 28, 29. So, you know, that magic number of 30 is about to come up, and that's usually when productivity goes down. You know, I think either the Texans or the Cowboys would be a good fit for him, as well as Saquon. I think Jacobs, his best bet is probably to stay with the Raiders. But then that also leads to the Raiders. What are the Raiders going to do? Are they still trying to compete, or are they just going to blow everything up and start all over again with this new regime with Coach Antonio Pierce and the new GM? So there's a lot of different questions that these running backs are going to have to answer, where, you know, I think a two-year deal for Saquon or any one of these three running backs in particular, I think a two-year deal for either the Cowboys, the Titans, I would say maybe even the Rams could probably use another running back. I know that Williams kid did a really, really good job, but DeAndre Swift is a free agent this year as well. So there's a lot of different, you know, I think the Cowboys and the Texans definitely need a running back. You could make a strong case for, you know, the Rams. I'm trying to think of a team who probably needs another running back. I mean, maybe I don't want to say the Packers, but, you know, I don't know. Running backs are just this dinosaur position where I'm over here live on this podcast trying to make things work where I don't know if it's really going to work. So, you know, it is what it is. And my last thing is, what are the New York Giants going to do with the quarterback this year? You know, you got Daniel Jones, who's coming back from a torn ACL, who's also, I think, a free agent at the end of next season. So I think they did a two-year, $80 million deal. So what are they going to do? Are they going to try to get a late-round quarterback? Or, you know, are they going to trade a move up in the draft to try to go get, like, a J.J. McCarthy or something like that? So I just thought it's very, very interesting what the Giants plan on doing next year. But not to mention, the Giants also need help on the O-line. They also got to give whoever the quarterback is going to be a chance to throw the ball to somebody that is not, you know, this is serviceable wide receiver is what they need. So the Giants, they are going to have a lot of questions at the quarterback position. I feel like they're damned if they do, they're damned if they don't. But one thing they need is a quarterback. They also need to spend money on some freaking receivers. So we'll see what ends up happening. But that is your Sports Business Podcast this week. Before we get up out of here, we definitely got to talk about the dummy of the day. And it's going to be none other than Kenny Smith. Bro, I get that you were trying to, I don't know, maybe make light of the situation on All-Star Saturday night where you tried to, I'm not going to say he tried to, you know, bash Sabrina Nisku for her, you know, shortcomings in the 3-point competition, which, by the way, that was probably the only highlight of the NBA All-Star weekend, like I said earlier this week, earlier on the show. But for her to score 26 points, which was, I think, the leading go-getter with the men at NBA range, but she just shot with a women's basketball, which is totally justifiable, which is totally cool. But Kenny Smith, like, what the hell are you talking about, bro? Like, you out here talking about, girls need to play with dolls, and why can't they play? I know where you were trying to go with, but in a world where, you know, everyone's trying to get canceled, I thought it was a little bit off key. And what I would have done, and I think the WNBA can really capitalize with this, because I always keep saying basketball is a sport where I've hooped with women, I've seen women hoop with dudes, and I've seen women be able to hold their own when it comes to hooping with dudes. Like, I know female hoopers that have been intimidated all the way up to the WNBA who've played at the highest level, who was out here saucing dudes up, just making dudes look stupid. I'm telling you that right now. So, I say all to say is that the WNBA, this is a good way for the WNBA to possibly pivot and get some more eyeballs, because, you know, Sabrina Ionescu, you got Kayla Clark that's probably going to go to the WNBA this year. You know, Kenny Smith, as opposed to trying to make a joking situation, this is a good time to empower our women as far as being able to say, hey, this girl just sat out here and just tied with four other NBA players and would have been in the, and would be competing for the finals for the men's three-point competition. She just happened to go up against the greatest shooter of all time, which is cool. But she still held her own. She only lost by three. So Kenny Smith, you are the dummy of the day. It was a joke that just didn't hit. And also, I don't think that this is necessarily the time for you to be able to be trying to make them type of jokes. But you are the dummy of the day. And that is your Sports Business Podcast. We do this once a week. We will be changing the days and the times around. Like I said, I'm still in a creative struggle right now, trying to figure out what I'm going to be discussing, because at this day and age, at this stage where I'm at right now, I don't know if I'll be talking a whole lot of basketball. And that's cool. If y'all rock with me, y'all rock with me. If y'all don't, I can find things that can make y'all rock with me. But in this day and age right now, we're going to try to figure it out. But we're going to definitely regroup. We will do a show next week. We shall see. But one thing about podcasts is I own all of my content. I own all of my work. And I own, all of the creative. So I get to call the shots. It's just that sometimes you got to do it. Sometimes you got to don't. Sometimes it works, sometimes it don't. But we shall see. But until then, I will see y'all next week. I'm out.